Now, nothing gets you in the Christmas spirit quite like hearing people will faint from fear and foreboding of all the things that are coming upon the world. We'd much rather prefer something more along the lines of the Christmas spirit, all the decorations that start coming up after Thanksgiving, indeed, actually, after Halloween. We'd prefer to decorate the trees with ribbons and garland. We'd rather think about that. We don't want to think about a plague of locusts, like eating everything that's green in sight. We much prefer something much more high-spirited, much more optimistic. And yet this church seems to do this weird disconnect where, like, everyone else is getting in the Christmas spirit. Many people have already put their trees up. And on this first Sunday of Advent, the traditional readings usually have something to do with the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. And the church has actually been doing this since about the 6th century. Since the 6th century, the first Sunday in Advent has actually leapfrogged over the first coming of Christ to looking forward to the second coming of Christ. This is a very future-focused Sunday. We're still thinking about the first coming of Christ, but we're also thinking about the second coming and this chance for when God will come to make things right. And that's why the church begins this Sunday on an apocalyptic note. The apocalypse is really kind of a sign of extreme hope for those who find themselves in extreme circumstances. Now, if we're not in extreme circumstance, we might prefer to say, no, thank you, I'd rather have all the Christmas spirit. But for those for whom life is very hard, and in Bible times, for those who are being oppressed, the Jeremiah passage that Tom read was written at a time when Jerusalem was being invaded by Babylon, and the temple was destroyed, and many of the Israelites were taken away into exile. The Luke 24 passage that I read was being read in a time when Christians were worried. And when the Gospel of Luke was finally formed, it was a time when Christians were suffering persecution. And so those in extreme circumstances, where they can't pick up themselves by the bootstraps because they don't have boots, for them, the apocalyptic, the hope that God will do something dramatic to set things right, is a hope that they hold on to. Many of my clergy friends who are pastors in very urban settings and have done Bible studies with unhoused men and women and others, they say that many times the parts of the Bible that they most want to study are the book of Revelation, the last part of Daniel, all the apocalypses, because they do find themselves in extreme circumstances. And so they're looking for an extreme hope. And Advent is this hope that God will make things right, that God is coming to judge the world. And it's important to note that the main meaning of judge in the Bible, this is in both the Hebrew and the Greek, the main meaning of the word judge is not really the finger wagging like, oh, you did something wrong, you must be bad because you're doing all these things wrong. It is not really that. What it really means is making things right. When things have been wrong for way too long, we look to God to make things right. Which passages of the Bible do we think that Christians in Gaza might be gravitating to these days? Maybe something sentimental, but probably not. I suspect that they are also holding on to the apocalyptic, an extreme hope for their extreme longings. And so the first Sunday of Advent is traditionally the Sunday of hope, the hope that God is making all things new. And this year, we're doing something a little different for Advent. We're focusing on hospitality. And so instead of the more traditional hope, peace, joy, love, We're doing invite, plan, prepare, welcome. And so knowing that our theme for today is actually invite, why would I still read the little apocalypse from Luke? And I think it's because the same logic applies, that the apocalyptic is good news for those who are constantly being overlooked and not invited. They begin to hope for some extreme circumstances that will help them feel included. And when that invitation does come, when it's unexpected, it makes us ever so grateful. One of my favorite professors in seminary would kind of have his ear out, listening around for anyone who might not be able to travel home for Thanksgiving. And every year, he invited the students that would have to stay on campus to his home for a Thanksgiving meal. And that invitation meant the world to me and to international students and to others to whom that invitation was always extended. And may God's blessings be on those people who always seek out the ones who are not usually invited, who may not be connected enough to get an invitation, and inviting them to come in. Because there is such joy in finally feeling that sense of inclusion. There's a parable that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke. It's a parable about a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of the sheep gets lost. And the shepherd actually leaves the 99 behind to go and look for that one lost sheep. And I always used to wonder, like, how would I feel about that if I was among the 99? Like, why would the shepherd leave all of us vulnerable to go and look for that one sheep who got lost? And maybe that sheep got lost because they weren't paying attention. They were being lazy, something went wrong. Like, but nonetheless, the shepherd is left to go after that one sheep. And the consolation that I realize is in knowing that if I had been the one sheep that was left behind, the shepherd would go looking for me to bring me back to the flock. I'm reminded of a story that a hospital chaplain once told me. There was a mother with 6 kids, and the youngest child had tragically died. He ran out into the street without looking, was struck by a vehicle, and was killed. And at the hospital, the child was pronounced dead on arrival, and the mother's grief was so palpable and raw. And she was saying, "I don't have a reason to live anymore. My child is gone. My child is dead. I don't have a reason to live." And the chaplain was thinking, "Oh my goodness, what are the other 5 children who are sitting here thinking as they hear all this?" And so the chaplain went over to the children and said, "Your mom is grieving. She doesn't really mean the words that she's saying right now." And the oldest child says, "Yes, she does. But if I had been the one who died, she would have said the same thing about me." If we do find ourselves among the 99, if life for us is going reasonably well, we can learn to hear the gospel through the ears of the one who does feel lost, through the ears of the one who is longing for extreme hope because their circumstances seem so extreme. And indeed, whether you count yourselves among the one or the 99, you're invited here to our community of faith. I've been the pastor now for about almost 3.5 years. And one of the things that strikes me about Covenant is that for a small congregation, it's remarkably diverse and welcoming. To me, it seems to mirror the diversity in God's realm. We welcome the one and the 99 all the time. And in this year's Advent devotional booklet, which focuses on hospitality, in the first entry, Dick Lewer offers an invitation to the congregation to invite others this Advent, this Christmas. Anyone looking for a sense of connection, for questions about faith where they might be discussed without judgment. Anyone looking for community, all are welcome here. And indeed, I hope that we will invite those who may be looking for that connection. And when an invitation is offered, what is it that makes us want to accept that invitation? It could be because there's this sense that this is the happening party, that something's going to happen, this sense of anticipation. And we might also want to accept that invitation because there's someone that we want to meet. And during this Advent season, as we once again prepare to welcome Jesus in our own hearts, as we try to make our own hospitality look more and more like the wide-armed, big, open hospitality of Jesus, whenever we invite others to join us here, there is someone we want them to meet. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.